Moncrief on News Talk.
South Korea's birth rate fell in 2023, and the previous figures was already the lowest birth rate in the world. If that trend continues, it's predicted that the country's population will have halved by the end of the century. Dr. Kevin Cawley is director of the Irish Institute of Korean Studies at UCC. Good afternoon, Kevin.
Today.
How long has this been going on for?
I mean, this has been in the media over the past decade. I suppose it started to become particularly worrying. I suppose in the past couple of weeks, it's gotten a lot of attention because the birth rate dropped even further. And as you say, you know, now the pressure is on because, you know, by the start of the next century, then the population could have dropped by half. So that's not particularly good.
And they're not
in terms of a working population.
Indeed. So obviously there must be factors here at play. Where I assume women are more reluctant to have children. What are those factors?
Yeah, well, I think gender inequality is deeply entrenched in South Korean society. And I think if we look at the sociocultural background of Korea, it was predominantly Confucian for hundreds and hundreds of years. And so within Confucianism, it placed value on women. So women were basically there to produce male heirs, and it was only the sons of the elite who were educated. And so now what we have is this hyper-competitive academic culture in South Korea. And actually now you have South Korean women who are the most educated in the OECD. So I think in the past couple of years, now more women are entering into higher education than their male counterparts. So I think, you know, part of the reason that women don't want to have children is discrimination that they face in the workplace, but also that they have faced in the past in relation to this inability to even be educated. And so I suppose now many women are seeing this as their time, and so they're choosing their career over a family. Because the expenses are so immense. So in terms of, you know, housing is hugely expensive in South Korea, and then if your salary isn't great, then that's an issue. And then if you have children, you have these huge education expenses outside of the school system. So, for example, most Korean children, I think it's like only 2% of Korean children do not attend private tuition organizations. So, for example, you have these, they're called Hagwon in South Korea, these institutions where you'll go, you know, they'll go to study maths, English, taekwondo, music, science, art, or whatever, and it's expected that, you know, that these children will attend many of these private academies. So this is a huge financial burden on families. And so therefore, women who have, I suppose, in the past had to fight to be educated are enjoying the careers that they're now able to get. But sadly, many of them are passed over for promotion after maternity leave. So, you know, they will generally consider if a woman has a child, then she should stay at home and look after the child. So that stems from these sort of Confucian values as well, where, you know, women were supposed to basically look after the children, and the public realm belonged to the men, and the private realm was where sort of women were sequestered to look after these children and hopefully produce male heirs. And then the male heir would go on to be educated. Whereas nowadays, you know, South Korean women are the most educated in the OECD. So they're some of the most educated women in the world. And I suppose they're just not willing to suffer the discrimination that they've been forced to face for generations. And especially now that they have the same education backgrounds as their male counterparts, then, you know, they sort of are less willing to have a child because then they will have the potential to have promotion.
So yes.
Example, you know, the men can get these promotions and the women can't because they think, oh, the woman will get married and the woman will have a child. So it's not necessarily all about babies. It's about deeper issues, I suppose.
Yeah. No, but that, from what you're saying, then it sounds like there had been generations of structured sexism operating. But it sounds like that's still there very much.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's still there. And the current president in Yoon Suk-yeol, you know, he was elected president on a wave of, you know, male resentment. So, you know, the whole Me Too movement didn't go down very well with men in South Korea because suddenly they're held accountable for their actions, which they never were before. And he pledged even to abolish the country's Ministry of Gender Equality and Family. So he blamed feminism for the country's low birth rate, and he sort of suggested that, you know, it prevented healthy relationships between men and women. So obviously he's not particularly interested in same-sex relationships. So same-sex marriage is illegal in South Korea. And the ironic thing about him is that he and his wife, they don't have any children. So here you have a government trying to get, you know, women in the workforce to have children. But meanwhile, his own wife hasn't had a child either. And, you know, obviously financial reasons aren't at play there because they're obviously very wealthy.
Yes.
But so I suppose from the, you know, in terms of the LGBTQ plus community in South Korea, you know, he is also a very conservative Catholic. So, you know, you have IVF treatments that are covered for straight couples, but they're not available for gay couples. So you have many levels of sexism and discrimination at play in South Korea. And I think gender rather than, say, race or immigration, that's become the main key social fault line to a large degree.
Yeah. And what have they done to try and encourage an increase in the birth rate?
I think that, you know, basically they've been trying to throw money at the problem, you know, that women will have access to nurseries, etc., and things like that, but not really dealt with the inherent misogyny that's at play in South Korea. You know, I've seen some news articles referring to, you know, Korean society as being irredeemably misogynistic. So, I mean, I think that's true to a large degree. So, for example, if you have then women who have children and they want their careers, but then when they get home, they're supposed to, you know, still do the housework. So you have this, I suppose, this asymmetrical division of housework where, you know, the women, they work, they have these careers, and if they do have children, then they're supposed to still go home and, you know, look after the children and deal with the children. And, you know, the men are supposed to be the main bread earners for the family. So I think one of the other incentives for men was that that they were suggesting was that if men had three children before the age of 30, they could become exempt from military service. So basically all able-bodied Korean men should do around 2 years of military service. So, you know, you have these incentives for the men, but the main issue is, I suppose, this how they're going to change these societal views in relation to the misogyny that exists in South Korea, and also this hyper-competitive society where, you know, financial concerns are a great worry. So if you have children, then, you know, you have these educational expenses. So I think it's the highest cost of education in the world is paid by South Koreans for their children to attend these sort of extracurricular academies, if you like.
Yeah. And is Korea's economy suffering from this, in that is there a shortage of people to fulfill jobs?
Well, I think there will be. And, you know, in the past as well, you had, you know, this idea that the Koreans were one homogeneous race, and that was something they prided themselves on. And, you know, oh, you know, we're pure Koreans. And now, you know, they need people from other nations to come in and work there. So, for example, I mentioned before, you know, it has one of the most educated workforces in the world. So therefore, if you have, you know, a degree, master's, PhDs, then you don't want to do more menial jobs. And so therefore, you see more and more people coming in from Southeast Asia, for example. But in the rural countryside of Korea, you also have women from Southeast Asia coming in and marrying Korean farmers or men in the rural countryside, because these new modern Korean women who are very well educated, you know, they don't want to live in the countryside where they don't have any chances, if you like, to develop themselves and to have, you know, these dynamic careers that they want.
Yes. And do you get any sense that this is, because one would have thought this is a demographic catastrophe for South Korea and people might be freaking out about this. Is it putting any pressure on the government?
Well, I think it is, and I think it's something they're becoming gradually more worried about. I mean, it's also an issue in other countries in Asia, so Japan has an issue as well, Hong Kong, Taiwan, Singapore, they've all tried to implement, you know, different policies or whatever. But I think it will be inevitable that you will start to have greater migration to Korea to take over these jobs that, you know, a very highly educated Korean workforce doesn't want to do. And so in the end, you know, I think that's one of the few ways that they can counteract the situation as it unfolds, you know, going forward.
And the low birth rates in, you mentioned Japan and various other Asian countries, are the factors there similar?
Yeah, well, I suppose in Japan as well, you know, you have a deeply divided society between, you know, men and women. So gender inequality is definitely greatly at play there as well. And also the responsibilities of the household are, I suppose, more in the domain of, you know, the women. So this is something that's, you know, historical and ingrained within these cultures. But and especially the effects of Confucianism in South Korea means that, you know, historically, the men were the ones who went out to work and the women stayed at home. And now, you know, women just don't want to do that anymore. They want to have their careers and, you know, and good for them. So it's about time that the men sort of sit back and listen to what the women want, as opposed to try and address the issue just with money or incentives that sort of cater for men.
Yeah.
Because those incentives clearly didn't even work for the president of South Korea, because he and his wife, they don't have any children either. So they shouldn't be putting pressure on, you know, regular families and regular women to have children when, you know, they haven't done that themselves. So they...
Kevin, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That was Dr. Kevin Cawley there, Director of the Irish Institute of Korean Studies at UCC.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.